You are listening to the Forgotten News Podcast.
But before we begin, here are a few words about a couple of other podcasts that we think you might want to try.
Hi, I'm Dawn.
I'm Lexi.
And I'm Tasha, and we welcome you.
On this Dead to the World podcast, we discuss all sleep-related phenomena, from dream interpretation to sleep disorders.
We love all things spooky and paranormal, and we hope you do too, because we're sure to add a paranormal twist to our interpretations.
We invite you to join us each week as we reveal stories discovered through research, as well as experiences shared with us by friends, family, and listeners.
Our goal is to keep this light and fun, and of course, keep you coming back for more. So take this adventure with us and discover what happens while we are
dead to the world.
Send us your dream and sleep-related stories to deadtotheworldpodcast@gmail.com.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok at Dead to the World Podcast.
Check out our website at deadtotheworldpodcast.com.
In the mood for some scary old-time radio shows? Well, then join me, the radio show nerd, at Terror Radio Podcast, a podcast dedicated in bringing you the best of horror and thriller old-time radio broadcasts, as well as original stories. Again, Terror Radio Podcast, every Friday, available on iHeart, Spotify, and several other platforms. Every Friday.
Welcome to the Forgotten News Podcast. This is your window to hear true stories from long ago. Stories that once made headlines. Stories that people thought would be unforgettable. Yet those stories were soon lost in the sands of time or were buried deep in the dustbin of history. In this podcast, we shake off the sand and dust from those stories and share them here with you, as fresh as the day they were first told.
Listeners, the following was recorded near the end of May. Unfortunately, it is now June. This delay was beyond our control. We apologize.
I'm so sorry this is so late. I'm so sorry. So sorry.
And now, here's your hosts.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to this mini-episode of the Forgotten News Podcast.
This is Jim.
Hello, everybody. This is Kit.
Hey, guys. It's Jessica.
Listeners, just to get started, we feel kind of bad because it's been, like, a really long time since the last time you heard from us.
Seriously, I think it's been almost a month.
Maybe it might be over a month. I hope not. But it's bad either way. Sometimes we're just bad at this.
So bad.
Sorry about that.
It's just all three of us have been juggling a lot of things in our actual real lives lately.
I've been having some mental health things going on, guys, and I know that you can relate to that.
I have been struggling. It was the anniversary of my mom's death a few days ago, and that has really just kind of thrown me up.
There has just been a lot going on.
So, bottom line, hey, we've just been busy.
And whether we like it or not, that is the reason we've fallen behind on recording a new episode.
Or even a mini episode like this one.
But it's okay. Everybody's fine. We're doing this.
Long story short, here we are, back again.
And rather than spend any more time just talking about us and why we've been bad podcasters, we're just going to jump right into our featured story. But as usual, we will start by giving a short advisory to you, our listeners, so that way you can decide for yourself if you want to continue to listen or not. Our featured story revolves around a young girl who went missing in June of 1946 while on a camping trip with her family in the forest of a U.S. national park.
Now, there is a lot more to this story than just that. There are many people who claim that this incident is shrouded in mystery and supernatural circumstances. And for that reason, it's a very interesting story. And we think that we have done a pretty good job of putting together the actual facts.
But nevertheless, if you are of a nervous or sensitive disposition or get frightened easily, we advise you calmly, but sincerely, to simply turn off this mini episode now. And for the same reasons, in regard to young children, parental discretion is strongly advised.
The story will be told by our lovely and very talented co-hosts, Kit and Jessica.
Yay! Ding, ding, ding.
And now, with all of that having been said,
on with the show!
Listeners, if you've ever walked in the woods during the day, it can be like a fairy tale.
But when the sun goes down, the darkness comes alive.
And that darkness is not always from within the woods, as we know from the story of Catherine Van Alst.
However, just in case you might be unfamiliar with Catherine and what exactly happened to her, well, lucky for you, we did some research. So, okay, here we go.
In the United States National Park System, there are more than 84 million acres of preserved woods, deserts, mountains, and other wilderness. So, it's no surprise that in the past 100 years there have been many cases of hikers, campers, and others suddenly going missing. Many of those who vanished were young children and inexperienced hikers, but some were healthy and seasoned at walking in forests or other such places. Nevertheless, most of them simply turn up on their own within a day or two.
But On the other hand, there are some people who think something more mysterious is happening. The most prominent advocate for this point of view is probably David Politis, a former police officer at Yosemite National Park, who is the author of a 2012 book with the title Missing 411, as well as several subsequent books. His books examine more than 1,000 cases of people who seemingly just disappeared while visiting a national park somewhere in the U.S.
But we are going to examine one particular case, specifically the disappearance and reappearance of a young girl, Catherine Van Alst, which occurred in June of 1946.
Now, for some reason, over the past few years, this particular case has become a featured story on several podcasts, websites, magazines, and books that focus on unusual or supernatural incidents. It is also discussed in Mr. Politis' book, Missing 411. However, instead of regurgitating anything that those sources have said, we are going to take a look at the actual facts, particularly as it was reported in newspapers at the time, since this was a story that definitely became news back then. So here we go with the facts, because we just happen to prefer facts.
Now, first things first. In regard to Catherine Van Alst, her last name is often misspelled as Van Arst. The correct spelling is Van Alst with an L, not an R. Now, the next thing that you need to know is that in June 1946, when Catherine was 8 years old, she and her family were on a camping trip at Devil's Den State Park in Arkansas. This park is near the Ozark National Forest. On June 16th, Catherine was sitting with her brothers, who were fishing. According to articles from the Associated Press, as well as various local newspapers, she got bored watching her brothers fish. So, she decided to go to the park cabin, which her parents had rented.
But unfortunately, Catherine took the wrong path, and then she lost her way among the many trees, dense undergrowth, and jagged limestone and mountains. She later said,
"I just couldn't find it."
According to an article in the Kansas City Times dated June 27, 1946, Catherine was wandering on the path all afternoon, going farther and farther in the wrong direction, until, according to the Associated Press,
she was more than 5 miles from the camp.
So, at this point, we now know exactly why and how Catherine went missing. But apparently, Politis and several other individuals who have written or podcasted about Catherine seem to be unaware of the simple facts. Instead, they claim that her disappearance is unexplained, or that, quote, she vanished mysteriously, unquote. In reality, Catherine simply got lost while trying to walk back to the cabin.
However, Once her family realized that she was missing and no one knew where she was, they began searching the woods and shouting her name. Then, when she did not answer, her panicked parents contacted the park ranger and a large-scale search was quickly launched. The searchers undertook a careful, methodical exploration of the entire area for several square miles. Every moment that went by was increasingly nerve-wracking, since Catherine was barefoot and dressed in nothing but a bathing suit. In other words, not exactly wearing the type of clothing that was appropriate for walking in the woods.
This search went on for nearly a week, with no trace of the missing girl. Hope was fading.
Then, on the sixth day, a team of volunteers happened to walk by a cave near a mountaintop. One of the searchers was a student from the University of Arkansas named Porter Chadwick. He decided to walk towards the cave, and when he did, Catherine suddenly came out. She casually waved at him and said,
"Here I am."
She was extremely calm and seemed almost in a daze. Many other hikers have gotten lost in that part of the Ozarks and were not as lucky as Catherine. Nevertheless, her body was covered with insect bites and scratches.
This fact is emphasized by Pilatus and several others who have written about this case.
He heavily implies that the scratches were caused by some unknown, mysterious source.
However, these scratches came from briars and bushes, not from humans or animals. This is a fact that was mentioned by multiple newspapers at the time.
But for some unknown reason, this fact is not mentioned by Pilatus and the others, who apparently preferred to create mystery rather than give verified facts. In addition, according to Pilatus, quote, Catherine was later interviewed by law enforcement sources and stated that she remembers sleeping in the warm grass the first night, but doesn't remember the next few days and nights, unquote.
Now, let's unpack this sentence because it contains at least three noteworthy statements which are presented as fact. First, in the book by Pilatus, he mentions, quote, law enforcement sources, unquote, as the basis for his claims in regard to Catherine. However, he does not identify any agency or officer. So this is about as deliberately vague as you can get.
But putting that aside, Pilatus said that Catherine couldn't remember the days and nights after the first night. However, this statement is not true at all. She easily remembered a lot of things.
For example, in Catherine's own words, quoted by the Associated Press, in an article dated June 25th, 1946,
I spent the first night in the grass, and then I found a cave with water. I slept there, and in the day I went out and tried to find the cabin. I ate berries and things.
There were other newspaper articles from the same week that contained similar statements. For example,
the St. Louis Dispatch, quote, when she grew weary, she would pause by a mountain stream and dangle her swollen, aching feet in the cold water. The child said she saw no animal or human, unquote.
The Fort Worth Star-Telegram, quote, airplanes and men afoot with dogs had scoured the area. Catherine said she heard the planes, but could not signal them. She also heard the dogs, but was afraid of them, and did not approach. Unquote.
The Kansas City Times, quote, on one occasion, she heard someone shouting and she called back, but apparently her voice wasn't loud enough to be heard. Unquote.
So, in other words, Catherine clearly had an excellent memory of the week in which she was lost. But for some unknown reason, Pilates and other individuals have decided to say various things which are the opposite of the actual facts in regards to this case.
In addition, there is one other statement by Pilates that has created an entire subcategory of paranormal theories. Specifically, quote, she remembers sleeping in the warm grass, unquote. However, there is no newspaper article that mentions warm grass, and Pilates gives absolutely no verification or other basis for this statement.
In addition, it's highly unlikely that the grass would be warm at night. Now, although the Kansas City Times uses the phrase tall grass, and there are some newspaper articles that simply mention grass, there is no article that contains the words warm grass.
But apparently, you shouldn't let that omission bother you, because there is a swarm of people on the internet who believe that the quote, warm grass, unquote, was really a hairy Sasquatch or some other Bigfoot type of creature that randomly decided to cuddle and protect Catherine during the night, then disappear in the early morning, just before she woke up. Well, this theory is obviously just guesswork by persons who deeply believe in Bigfoot and Sasquatch. And since we have no evidence that such creatures were actually involved in this story, we will move on.
So, next. According to Pilates, quote, rescuers claim that Catherine would have had to walk between 24 and 36 miles to get to the location where she was eventually found, yet she wore no shoes, unquote. However, in fact, the true distance that she walked is unclear. It was definitely a lengthy distance because her feet were swollen from walking and she did not have any shoes. She herself said that she would occasionally need to pause by a mountain stream and dangle her feet in the cold water because of pain and swelling. Most newspaper articles stated that the distance had been 5 miles. The Kansas City Times said that it was 7 miles. The St. Louis Dispatch reported that some people in the area, quote, believed she had walked dozens and dozens of miles through the forests, unquote. So the actual distance that Catherine walked is unknown. But the most reliable estimates seem to be 5 to 7 miles and not 24 to 36, as stated by Pilates.
However, just as all good things must come to an end, Pilates eventually wraps up his description of the chain of events by asking, is this possible? But the question that he is actually asking is, could an 8-year-old really survive in the woods for 6 days without help from some mysterious unknown source? Well, could she? The truth is, yes. In fact, it is more than possible, because it actually happened.
Catherine took a wrong turn and then got lost in the forest. She managed to survive by eating berries and drinking water from a fresh water pond that she randomly discovered in a cave. Finally, by sheer luck and willpower, she remained alive for nearly a week and was rescued.
In his book, Politus also tries to create a mystery out of the fact that Catherine survived by eating berries. After all, how did she somehow know which ones she could eat safely? This is ridiculous. She was an 8-year-old kid. She got hungry and just decided to take a chance and eat some berries that were dangling from a branch.
Seriously, the truth is simple. If you are starving, you eat what you can find. But it is also possible that Catherine might actually have been familiar with the berries she ate.
Now, in addition, Politus says, quote, "Catherine was hospitalized for 2 days and released in excellent condition," unquote. This statement is completely inaccurate. Catherine was not in excellent condition when she was found, and she was not in excellent condition when she was released from the hospital. However, after a few days in the hospital, she was finally strong enough to go home. And in releasing Catherine, the doctors used the word good, not excellent.
But for whatever reason, Pilatus almost makes it seem that Catherine's condition was not that bad, when the fact is, prior to being discovered, she was starving. She was very skinny from not able to eat properly during the week that she was lost.
Catherine had to take typhoid shots because of potential ill effects from eating wild berries and drinking cave water.
Pilatus also claims, quote, "There was never a mention of dehydration or her suffering from lack of food," unquote. This statement is flatly untrue. Many newspapers mention Catherine's malnourished condition.
For example, the Kansas City Times used such terms as emaciated and malnourished. In addition, if you look at photographs that were published in newspapers at the time, she basically looks like she had walked out of an enemy concentration camp at the end of World War II.
Catherine plainly suffered during her days in the forest.
But for some unknown reason, Politus wants you to think that nothing bad happened to her, that she was somehow protected during those 6 days by some unknown something or other. It makes no sense. He seems to want to concoct a supernatural mystery where there is actually none.
In reality, the case of Catherine Van Alst is no mystery. A young girl went walking in a large forest. She got lost and was scratched by briars and bushes. She ate berries and drank water from a pond in a cave because she could find nothing else. Then, by pure luck, she was found before she died from malnutrition or from an attack by a wild animal.
There are no newspaper articles that were published at the time of the incident in 1946 that imply that something weird or strange happened. In addition, Catherine herself made no statements implying that something weird or strange happened.
And on that note, We are now at the end of the totally not mysterious story of the disappearance and reappearance of Catherine Van Alst.
Listeners, at this point on our podcast, it is typical for us to give our individual thoughts or comments in regard to the featured story. However, instead, we are just going to make a short statement, and here it is.
Every so often, you will read or hear stories from people of honesty and integrity about strange, unexplained events or manifestations of one kind or another, including some that have been truly scary, and even some that have caused people to run, screaming with terror, out into the night. And on this podcast, we have occasionally told stories that fall into the category of the unexplained, or even the supernatural. But when we tell those kind of stories, we are careful to give all the facts. Not just the ones that make it look spooky, paranormal, or as if it is some kind of weird contradiction to the common understanding of reality.
But, on the other hand, there are some people who concoct stories that are completely false, or who twist or embellish true stories just to sell books, or to get clicks on a website, or to draw listeners to a podcast or a radio show. And we think that is exactly what happened here. Someone, maybe it was David Pilatus, maybe it was someone else, somehow stumbled across an obscure story from the 1940s about a little girl who got lost in a great big forest but managed to survive for 6 entire days, completely alone and barefoot. Well, that person simply decided that the girl just must have had some kind of help from an unknown supernatural source, and that this unknown source was the real reason she came out alive. However, the truth is, if any of these armchair experts had simply taken a few minutes to look at even a few of the many newspaper articles and photographs that were published about this incredible incident back in 1946, they would have quickly seen that the girl was lost solely because of confusion, not kidnapping or anything weird, and that she was able to survive as a result of her own ingenuity, not because of help from Bigfoot, unicorns, or any other magical creatures.
It is simply outrageous for Pilatus and others with a similar viewpoint to take advantage of the fact that mystery can weave a spell of strange fascination and fill people's minds with fear and doubt. So, from shadows and stillness, they are creating and selling fake mysteries simply to make a buck. And that is called lying. And it is a sin. Listeners, 9 times out of 10, sin will make you stupid.
So, on that note, it's time to move on.
But first, we want to give an enormous thanks to our wonderful guest voices on the featured story. So, please, come up to the microphone, take a bow, and tell our listeners anything that you want them to know about you.
Hi, my name's Scott. Relatively new to the podcasting world and voice world, but I'd be happy to help you out, work on your stuff as well. And you can catch me on Madison on the Air and in past works with the Pendant Podcast Blue Harvest, voicing Kyle Katarn in Star Wars. If you want to reach out to me, please, please feel free to do so. You can catch me on my email at stephenscottberry@gmail.com. That's stephenscottberry@gmail.com. Hope to hear from you soon. Let's have some fun together and make some magic.
Hey, everybody. My name is Frank Guglielmi. I'm a Philadelphia guy, South Philly, for those of you who know Philadelphia. I'm a retired school teacher, and I've been doing voice acting for about 6 or 7 years now. I've done commercials, I've done e-learning, I've done interpretive reading, I've done reading stories. My favorite is doing audio dramas. I just love doing audio dramas. If you need a good male voice, you could reach me. I'm at gugie806@gmail.com. gugie806@gmail.com. I have a Discord, gugie#1219. You could reach me through Facebook. And if you're interested, you can go onto SoundCloud.com and type in my name, and you'll get all of my voice samples. You can go on YouTube and you can type in my name in the search, and you'll get a list and some of all the audio dramas I've done. Thank you very much. Hope to hear from you guys soon. Bye-bye now.
My name is Aaron Ratson. I can be reached at aaronratzan@gmail.com. Once again, Aaron Ratson at aaronratzan@gmail.com.
Robin Warder of The Trail Went Cold.
We especially want to thank Victoria Hull for being the voice of Catherine Van Alst.
Thank you so much. Excellent job. Thanks again.
Thank you so, so much.
Now, because this is a mini episode, we will not be presenting our usual features, police blotter and court news, and our recommendation and advice segment.
Nevertheless, we are still going to ask you to go to Apple Podcasts, also known as iTunes, to give a 5-star rating and review for the Forgotten News podcast. It would mean a lot to us if you would do that.
Reviews help other listeners to find the show, and that way they can hear the stories that we share with you. Now, besides reviews, we really like hearing from our listeners directly. So just send us an email at forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just use the search feature. Then type Forgotten News Podcast and you'll find us. It's unbelievably easy.
By the way, everyone, I want every single one of you to know that you can contact and interact with me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @KitKaren. Let me spell that for you. @KITCAREN. My DMs are open. If you would like to chat with me, I would be glad to talk about almost anything. The key word being Almost. So, don't be salty or mean, because why would you want to hurt my feelings? And if you follow that one simple rule, I guarantee that you will hear back from me. Okay?
Hey, everybody. This is Jessica. I'd love to hear from you, regardless of whether it's about me or about the podcast. So with that being said, here is how you can reach me. My email is xoxojessicaxoxo@gmail.com. I can also be reached on Twitter and all other social media at xoxojessicaxoxo. And I look forward to hearing from you. Just be nice. Be nice to me.
Listener, please use one of the ways that we have given to contact us if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions. We'd really appreciate it.
Now, finally, if you've made it this far, hello there, and welcome to the end of the mini episode.
We hope that you enjoyed spending this time with us.
And I think that's everything that we have on our agenda.
Hold on, not so fast. One more thing. Remember, history is no mystery. Dum dum da dum dum la 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 ba ba dum bum bum.
This mini episode was recorded before a live audience of us.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Goodbye, listeners.
Thank you for listening to the Forgotten News Podcast. You will now be returned back to the present day, and we hope that we can count on you to join us for our next episode.
The people who lie the most are nearly always the clumsiest at it, and they're easier to fool with lies than most people. You'd think they'd be on the lookout for lies, but they seem to be the very ones that will believe almost anything at all.